advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Doug and Daddy Show, the final couple of days of March here on ESPN Radio, 1460 and 1550. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda, Tony Davis, Derek Stenson bringing you all of the activity for the next hour. And coming up, the new Hall of Fame class has been selected for the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame, and we will talk with one of the inductees in Kelly Jeffries. She will join us here in just a couple of moments. Also later on in the show, spring practice starting for the Hastings College football team. Paul Merkowitz is going to join us. We'll take a look at what they have coming up as well. And, of course, we'll see who's in the lead in the Doug and Daddy tournament bracket, as I was feeling pretty good, but now I have to wonder why I picked Oklahoma to beat North Carolina in the Elite Eight, which is what I had from the very beginning. But three of the four, and I was sitting in third place in the Doug and Daddy bracket, but a lot of people North Carolina, and North Carolina is going to destroy Villanova in the Final Four.
Doug, I'm going to start off by saying you are smart, I am dumb. You are good looking, I am, well, pathetically ugly. You are rich, I am poor. Syracuse was no match for Oklahoma. Oklahoma took care of business. Syracuse failed to show up. I'm not sure Oklahoma failed to show up versus North Carolina. But where was the shooting that happened all tournament long for Oklahoma? What has happened to the teams getting this far and elevating their game to make great games? There was only one great game this weekend, and it was Pitt-Villanova.
Well, that's why it's so tough to win the NCAA tournament. You've got to string six together, and that's why I was worried about Pitt. They had stunk the first weekend. They had stunk on Thursday. And
well,
still
they
found
about
a
scummed
way,
out.
And still found a way to win basketball games, and they are who we thought they were. I'm just glad Pittsburgh is out because they are in no way one of the best teams in the country, and I think they definitely prove that in this NCAA tournament. Villanova is probably playing a little bit better than many thought, but again, I looked at that region. I didn't think Pitt was that good. Duke was a weak number two seed. It was by far the weakest. And as we said, the South was by far the strongest. North Carolina and Oklahoma are two of the best four teams in the country, and they should not have been playing and would not have been playing without injuries. And I guess if the tournament committee would look back on that, that's going to be the one mistake they probably saw in this whole thing. And again, Louisville, I guess say what you will, they were not the number one overall seed. Were they deserving of a number one? Well, yeah, probably so, coming through the Big East the way they did. It was pretty tough. But to classify Memphis as the first number two seed and not Oklahoma is disrespect to the Sooners. North Carolina, Oklahoma, Connecticut, I think, are the best three teams in college basketball this morning. I think those are the best three teams in college basketball this morning.
And obviously, with the way Villanova was able to win, you give them no shot already, and I got that from you. Do you give Michigan State, a team at home, 70,000 expected to be in Detroit? It's a home game. I have not saw the point spreads yet. I asked Derek about it. He had not looked them up yet. I have not saw them. I certainly think Connecticut will be the favorite in this ball game.
They're favored by four.
Okay. See, I think on a neutral
North
court,
Carolina's favored by seven.
On a neutral court, I think it'd be eight.
I think it's called what again? That's what's going on with the point spread there. There's no doubt about it. You've got the two number ones. They're going to be favored.
But I think if you get a place other than Detroit, I think that point spread's 8 points. I think it's 7.5, just like it is North Carolina.
I think Connecticut's going to have a lot better with this not being a Saturday-Sunday where they only had a day really off to really prepare. They're going to have the whole week now, not have to play till Saturday. They're going to have five good days to get ready, and maybe even six since they won on Saturday, but five good days to get ready for what Michigan State does, the leading rebounding team in the country. And that's going to be the key to this basketball game. They didn't turn it over against Louisville, and they were rebounding again. They didn't cover the big guy, and he knocked down some threes and some outside jumpers. I don't think Connecticut will let that happen. I think Michigan State gets beat.
How good was Carolina's defense, though, on Griffin?
He was 23-16.
He had got his 23
points. How great is Griffin? If he's not the player of the year, quit giving it out.
No, he's the player of the year. I think he proved that the whole tournament long. But as soon as he caught the ball, they hounded him. For him to have 23 points yesterday, I'd say how.
Speaking of players of the year, way back in 1980, which must have been just, what, 5-6 years ago? Player of the year, high school All-American, All-State in volleyball, state champion in the high jump, one of the best shooters in the history of the Huskers, and she is one of 11 athletes going into the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame. Currently, the head girls basketball coach at Grand Island. Back then, they knew her as Kelly Benson. Today, we know her as Kelly Jeffries, and she joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kelly, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
What is, and I guess we ask just about everybody this question when an honor like this is bestowed of them. When you get the letter in the mail or the phone call that says, Kelly, we are going to welcome you to the Hall of Fame class, what goes through your mind that first 15, 20 seconds?
Well, you know, when I first read it, I thought, you know, I used to think this is an honor for, you know, my grandparents or older people, and now here it is. With me, so I'm thinking either I'm getting old or I don't know, but it just brings back a lot of memories, you know, a lot of people that, you know, I've crossed paths with over the years, and, you know, they've been, you don't get to do something like this with, you know, a lot of help from a lot of people, so it still hasn't hit, but it's an honor.
Kelly, did you ever think, man, it's about time they sent me that letter?
Oh, no, not at all.
Obviously, a lot of fun. Kelly, can you obviously take us back to a couple highlights that come to mind when you think about your playing days?
You know, actually, when I was playing, and, you know, I tried to talk to my kids about this because I think we have a similar situation going on, but we had some great rivalries with Kearney and Hastings, you know, kind of that Tri-City rivalry. And, you know, I remember my junior year, we went to state finals in volleyball and got upset by Kearney, who had beaten several times that year, but they beat us in the state finals. So then we went back to basketball and ended up winning it my junior year. And just was another huge rivalry with Kearney. And, you know, it's still kind of continuing today. I mean, every time you think about Grand Island Kearney, that's what I think of. But a lot of good memories. Like I said, a lot of people that I run into that I've crossed paths with over the years. And, it's just a great experience here.
Kelly Jeffries joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. She's one of the athletes that will be going into the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame this September in Lincoln is when the ceremonies are. For folks that kind of forgot, when Kelly was playing, they were the state runner-up her sophomore and senior year, state champ, as she said, her junior year. And as a junior and a senior, beat Kearney in the state semifinals both times. So I guess that probably kind of puts a sticker on that rivalry there. And Kelly, in the early days, I guess we will say, of female athletics, it seemed like the strength was in this part of the state, where maybe it's isn't that way anymore, or it's starting to get back that way with the programs you and Jason are putting together at Kearney.
Right. Well, you know, when you think about that, I mean, there really isn't been that many out-state teams win, like, a state basketball title. I mean, it's really tough and really unusual, even this day and age. In fact, I can't remember the last one who's done that. But, you know, it's just out here, I guess we had good, you know, programs at our YMCA. We had the year that we won state, we had four Division I players on our team that played at other schools. So we had some really good athletes and a coach that did a great job with this. So we are very fortunate.
Kelly, obviously the athletes come to mind and players you played against that you think were awfully talented and maybe deserving of this honor as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every year there seemed like there was, you know, two or three really quality players that, you know, either I played with 4 years at University of Nebraska or played somewhere else. So, I think even back then, even though basketball is kind of a new sport, there was girls that were pretty talented. You know, I always get asked that question, could he compete with this day and age? Well, it's a totally different game. I try to talk to my players now about how back then we still used a men's ball. There was no three-point line. And, you know, they don't even realize that, you know, the game has changed since, you know, 20, 25 years ago.
Kelly Jeffries joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Really the only player from her era that is going into the Hall. Laura Tichin from Byron graduated in 76, but either you're talking recent or you're talking 60s and a couple of folks from back in the 30s and 40s that are going. It wasn't just all basketball, though, Kelly. You mentioned volleyball. You're a state champ in the high jump. Talk about the other sports, and then I guess follow that up as the decision to go to Nebraska.
Well, you know, I was just one of those kids that, you know, it wouldn't matter. I loved to play tennis. I liked track. I loved volleyball. I just, you know, right now I'm a PE teacher, so there's not too many sports I don't enjoy. I had a pretty competitive spirit back then and really liked to compete and had a good work ethic and all those things you need to have success. But, you know, I enjoyed them all. And like I said, I had some great role models here at Grand Island and great coaches that really did a nice job with girls athletics. So I feel real fortunate in that respect. Going to UNL was, you know, I have a girl that's being recruited right now, and recruiting is a lot different now than it was back then. Basically, I had a coach come watch me play in our district my senior year, and about a week later, there's a scholarship in the mail, and I signed it, and that was it. So it wasn't too tough. It was something I wanted to do, and there really wasn't a lot of discussion about it at my house, and we just, that's the way it went. So it was very simple.
Kelly, take us back. I find it interesting when you say you enjoy most of the sports. Now there's a lot of, I guess, kids narrowing it down and playing one or two. They don't do the four and five sports anymore. Were there camps when you were playing in the summer, or did you just change sports with the time of year?
I changed sports in the time of the year. I would have to say, though, pretty much basketball was a year-round thing for me. You know, I'd finish volleyball practice, head down to the Y and shoot for an hour before I went home, or I played all summer basketball. Basketball is really my passion, but there really wasn't any sport I didn't enjoy. I loved all of them. I even took a summer and did some swimming. I'm just kind of an advocate for kids to, you know, I'm not real crazy about the specializing. I think, you know, kids need to find out what they can do in other sports. And I don't really care what sport it is. You're still competing. And competition is good for anybody. I'd love to play golf right now. You can ask my own kids at home. We have table tennis we play every night, and I don't like to get beat. And that's just the way it is. My son and I just battle every night. So it's just kind of a fun. It's just, you know, it's just a passion to play sports, and I've had a lot of fun with it.
Well, it was a great era, and Kelly, now you're doing it, and I know probably some of the kids that you've coached someday might have this opportunity because things are pointed in the right direction there at senior high. Congratulations on this great honor, and look forward to September when you're inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Benson Jeffries going into the Hall of Fame this September, a graduate of the senior high Islanders in 1980, high school All-American in basketball, All-State in volleyball, state champion in the high jump, one of the top shooters in the history of Nebraska women's basketball, and congratulations to Kelly, who is headed in there. Now, we had an opportunity to tell you about some of the area folks on the show on Friday. Let's kind of give you the whole list of who's going in, and we'll start with the folks in the area. Andy Meyer, a nice piece in the Lincoln Journal-Star about Andy, of course, went to Nebraska from Superior, now the track coach at UNK, still holds the state record in the discus. He was a three-time All-American and Big Eight Conference discus and shot put champ. Pat Hodges from Lexington, class of 74, set the state record at the time with 47 consecutive free throws, Southwest Conference scoring record in basketball, set a state record in the 880-yard dash. What's that? What's the 880? Don't even remember. I think they named a radio station after that. Winning four gold medals at the state track meet his senior year. He was a two-way starter on Lexington state champion football teams, 72 and 73. Jim White of Hastings, class of 68. All-state basketball player, led the Tigers to the state tournament, setting the school's single game and single season scoring records. Made his reputation on the golf course, winning the 69 state tournament. Went on to play basketball and golf at Hastings College. And, of course, had an outstanding amateur and professional career in golf as well. Rich Ozentoski from Ord, 1965. All-state in football and basketball. Won the Class B State Golf Championship that year. Then came to Kearney State. State football, baseball, and played pro baseball in the Minnesota Twins organization, and of course still in the area. And congratulations to Rich. Zach Wiegert, the former Husker, goes in out of Fremont, Bergen. He was a three-sport standout there. The Outland Trophy winner in 1994 and went on to play 11 years in the NFL. Also going in, Laura Tichen of Byron led them to the 14-0 record in 1976. That's right, 14-0, averaging 38 points a game.
Oh, jeez.
Scored 58 in a game, currently the second highest single game total.
Byron. Now,
who has the highest? I believe it's Cindy Hayes with 61. I'll check on that. Larry Byron, it's in the middle of Chester and Hubble.
Yeah, there you go.
And doesn't even, that's not even, that's part of the
Thayer,
Fillmore, one
Fillmore,
of the two.
There you go.
Larry Tomlinson, O'Neill, St. Mary's, 1959. Jim Myers from York, 1942. Won the gold medal in the pole vault at the state track meet. They were vaulting poles back in 1942. He's an All-State halfback on their
say how high
team,
that was
All-State
in
basketball.
42? No.
Sarah Fredstrom Sechrist from Omaha Burke, 1994. Now, here is the only, you have to be out of high school 15 years. So Sarah is the only first-time eligible to go in this year as far as an athlete, which I find a little surprising. I thought 1994, you know, might have a few more. A four-time state doubles champion in tennis, earned All-State honors in softball and basketball, and set many softball records at Colorado State. And finally, Tom Ernst of Columbus, 1959. A four-year starter in football and basketball. He started for the Nebraska baseball team in college. Coaches from wrestling, Curly Alexander of Omaha North, Jerry Eichhoff, basketball, Hampton, the winningest basketball coach in Nebraska history with 670 titles. He retired after the state tournament this year. Roy Bassett from Hastings, a 40-year career that stretched from 32 to 71. George O'Boyle, who coached cross-country and track at Lincoln Pius, and Keith Stair out of Kimball, who had a 32-year career that began in North Loop, Scotia, before moving on. Official Dale Butler out of Norfolk, contributors Roger Berry of Schuyler and Ray Ehlers of Lexington. The Fisher Family Award goes to the Schwarzkopf families of Lincoln. The Ron Gustafson Inspiration Award goes to Alex Goldie out of St. Paul. She's an amputee who lost her lower leg when she was two. She's now a senior at St. Paul, has played first base on the softball team, and played for the U.S. Paralympic volleyball team. So congratulations. The golden anniversary, Central City's baseball of 59 and 60, which I find unusual since it's not a high school sanctioned sport. But there's nothing wrong with getting that in. There's no problem there. Omaha South boys basketball teams, 59 and 60. Silver anniversary teams, 25 years ago, Hay Center girls. They did just about everything in track, basketball, and volleyball. And the Columbus SCOTUS boys, who allowed only 55 points their entire season, going undefeated. And finally, I think this is a new category, dominant dynasties. If it's not new, there haven't been very many in. It's the Minden boys basketball teams of the 1950s, coached by Hall of Fame coach Aldie Johnson. The Whippets went 171-33 in that decade, won three state titles, two runners-up in Class B. The 50 and 52 teams were 22-1. The 52 team was ranked number one in all classes. So there is your Hall of Fame induction class for 2009.
I believe Aldie Johnson went from Minden to Lincoln High, if I'm correct on that.
Let's go to the email here, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. From Joel, confused in Nebraska, he says, I'm still waiting for the correct end of the Nova Pitt game. There was clearly illegal participation on Nova at the end of the game, but no technical foul was called. The announcers clearly aren't informed of the rules of the game, as they didn't say a word as the floor was cleared and the half second was played out. The only explanation I can come up with is that the refs in this game have half a brain and use common sense and judgment, and are not intoxicated with their own power. Can you imagine any idiots that would have handled the situation any differently? Wow. Confused in Nebraska. I don't know. Wait a minute. It could be someone that lives in Franklin. I don't know.
Now, the only difference, I guess I would say, would be that there was no time left on the clock.
The only difference was it was totally different. And again, by the way, what's his name? LaVance? Whatever his name
Fields.
Yeah, Fields. didn't get that shot off, and they would have counted that. He dropped it, dribbled it, and shot it with a half-tenth of a second. If that would have went in, but it didn't. That's fine. That's fine. Let's go. Uh-oh. We've got an email from H-Man in Riverdale. We'll read that when we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I don't think this is quite normal.
I heard it might even put hair on your chest.
See, I never dreamed it could be that exciting.
We'll leave it tuned in and keep someone listening here all the time.
More excitement coming up next when the Doug and Daddy Show returns on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
What do you think? Did that sound convincing?
No matter which direction you point your RV, Rich & Sons can make sure your TV signals are clear and strong with some digital updates. Converter boxes will get your receiver tuned in with the new digital signals. And the WineGuard Wingman is a device that boosts reception on UHF channels 14 through 51. You won't get better reception without a really long cable. Rich & Sons have all sorts of service packages to get you ready to roll. Visit their website, richsonsrv.com, for a list. And when you schedule them, tell them you're an ESPN Radio listener for another $10 off. Rich & Sons Camper Sales, South 281 Grand Island.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. 22. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
The NCAA tournament is on Westwood One. Are you ready to dance with the real stars?
Green will drive it up quickly for Carolina, misses the runner, but a tip jam by Tyler Hansbrough coming out of nowhere to flush it for two. 54-48, it's a six-point lead for North Carolina.
Put on those dancing shoes as the party is ready to get started right here.
Catch all the action on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Now, Doug and Daddy are in the herd.
You can't be afraid of blood.
The herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 until 11, and 12 to 1 weekday.
And he's not happy about it.
With a little bull from Doug and Daddy about three quarters of the way through from 11 to noon.
The roles will be a little bit reversed.
Forget Wall Street. The bull market is here. Weekdays, 9 until 1.
I hope your dancing is a little bit better.
On ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see some sunshine, followed by some increasing cloud cover during the day today. Temperatures climb up to around 40 initially. They may fall off later today as winds turn to the west late at 10 to 25. Tonight, we'll see a chance for showers, mixing with and changing over to some wet snow with a low in the upper 20s. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 45.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Down to the Final Four of the men's tournament with the Elite Eight in the women's tournament. You can hear the regional finals tonight and tomorrow starting at 6 here on ESPN Radio. Iowa State playing tonight, Oklahoma women playing tomorrow. So you can catch those games here on ESPN Radio. Well, we said we'd have an H-Man from a Riverdale email that we're going to bring to you. Well, he's evidently not much of a fan of much of anything these days. H-Man says, the only thing we know for sure coming out of this sports-filled weekend is that the Ryan Leaf of college basketball, Tyler Hansbrough, won't be stealing our kids' money anytime soon by putting on a Dunk the UNC Way camp or clinic. If North Carolina actually wins a national championship with this special ed graduate playing for them, Roy Williams should be given Coach of the Century. Signed, H-Man from Riverdale.
I don't understand.
That takes us to the Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge. Derek, where are we sitting in the Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge today?
You guys are both sitting pretty good. Well, not Daddy's official bracket, but Daddy does have a bracket tied for eighth, actually called Doug Hates the Big Red. So a little stab at you there. But Giro or Chance are tied for 15th overall as well. So both towards the top of the leaderboard.
I'm screwed because I got Oklahoma in the final, so I can't get any more points there. And even if Connecticut does win it, there's quite a few people I can catch and pass here, but some of those guys, when North Carolina goes to the finals, are going to pick up some points as well. So I'm about as high, I think, as I'm going to be.
Right now, leading the way is Biggest Loser, H. Peterson. He in sole possession of first place there with 1,080 points total.
Looks like there's only one person on the whole board that has the entire Final Four, which I would have had Oklahoma won. I do not have. Our second place, our Horn, is setting in second place with a perfect Final Four. Now, that's an accomplishment to pick the Final Four because this wasn't all the number ones. It wasn't a three number ones and a two.
Now, not bragging, I got three out of four, but I got Duke as my other one. And I knew they weren't that good going in. But you try and do something different. Duke basketball was not what it has been. What was I doing?
Well, what were you doing when you harvested last year and you went, what is this?
Well, that's why you need to take a look at Dynagrow. You need to take a look at the Roundup Ready soybeans. Simple, flexible, dependable, taking complexity and worry out of soybean production, perfect for reduced or no-till operations. Roundup Ready soybean varieties contain in-plant tolerance to Roundup agricultural herbicides. Just spray over the top from emergence through flowering for simple, flexible, and dependable weed control, proven crop safety, and maximum yield potential. 1-800-652-9298. Apply Roundup when you need to. Roundup Ready soybeans provide you the flexibility to make applications when you need to. You can consistently achieve excellent weed control and maximum yield potential. That's what it's all about. More time to spend where you need it most. With the Roundup Ready soybean system, you'll be able to take advantage of unsurpassed weed control, time savings, and flexibility. Call your local Dynagrow Seeds dealer today, 1-800-652-9298.
Well, last week when we wrapped up the show, we had Todd Gallagher of ESPN.com on the program. He's doing the Playground Challenge, and he was going up against
Brian Jordan
in the first round. All you have to do is go to ESPN.com and click on Playground Challenge, and they play one-on-one basketball. They have a wiffle ball competition, home run competition, soccer kicks, a game of five or six different games out there. And he wasn't a big fan of female athletes or swimmers because he said the reason this all started is because I was tired of hearing that Michael Phelps was the athlete of the year, saying that he wasn't even an athlete. And Joel, not very happy about that. He fired off back-to-back emails real quick here. I'm going to guess this is the first of the two. Joel says, how can you say swimmers aren't athletes? This guy's an idiot. How about a guy who makes millions of dollars per year to play basketball and can't even make a free throw? A swimmer is a competitor. They're super fit. They must perform excellent technique and form, and their endurance rivals any athlete in any other sport. Think about it. There you go. Ridiculous statement. Both of these are basically the same. Joel and Hastings firing in with that.
Well, I thought that would rub some people the wrong way, but he wasn't too worried about it when he said it, apparently.
1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com to the Dent Popper inbox. Coming up, Paul Merkowitz is going to join us, the head football coach at Hastings College, to talk about their start of spring ball. By the way, not a great weekend for all of the athletes around here, but Nebraska baseball goes 1-1 in their series. They finally got to play yesterday. A high-scoring affair, a doubleheader that ended up 12-9 Oklahoma Game 1, 11-9 Nebraska Game 2, snapping Oklahoma's 16-game home winning streak that included a couple games late last year.
Try and do it again this afternoon and take that series. Nebraska, the only Big 12 team to win on the road yesterday. So very difficult to win on the road. Nebraska was
able
to do it.
Well, they got two chances to do it, though.
True. But still, they played two games in Stillwater. Stillwater, Missouri, had the same weather situation. So we'll see if they can get that series win today. Seems to be that from the guys on the radio, thinking Nebraska's got the advantage as far as the pitching goes and as far as the bullpen goes. Now, maybe without Mike Nissa, who Mike Anderson said may not be available today.
Well, Jordan Rualdi's got the win yesterday, and it was a nice day at the plate for Tyler Farsdy. He went 4-for-5 with 3 RBIs as Nebraska got the win. Today's game is at 3 o'clock. You can hear it on our sister station, 1230 a.m. KHAS. Hastings Broncos kept their winning streak going on Saturday, sweeping a doubleheader from Northwestern, 10-4 and 12-7. Got them to 6-0 in the conference. Then yesterday they had to travel to Sioux City to take on Briar Cliff, and they get beat 7-6 and 3-2. So two tough games there, and that will drop them to 6-2 in the conference. They will host Nebraska Wesleyan this Saturday at 1 o'clock. For UNK, I don't know. I'm hoping they can get things turned around when they get to play at home again, but boy, the road hasn't been their friend, and you can say what you want. It took them 2 days to get out to New Mexico Highlands. They were stuck in Pueblo. They had to play doubleheaders. Saturday, just rolling off the bus, and then Sunday. But, again, I still say, well, they are college kids. It's not like old men rolling off the bus with bad knees. But two more one-run losses, and they lose all four games to New Mexico Highlands, who's now 13-7 in the conference. Weather permitting, they will host Winona State in a non-conference doubleheader tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, that's something that I don't know what Damon, obviously not happy about it, but all these one-run games, I think they were 10 of them within two runs. Now you've got, what, 13 of them within two runs this weekend?
Softball, Sarah Dunn gets the one-out double to give UNK a win in Game 2 yesterday. They split their doubleheader with Regis both Saturday and Sunday. Again, weather permitting, UNK will host number 23, UNO, tomorrow afternoon. And Mount Marty softball.
Bad, bad, bad.
God's name is what in, jeez. 12-0 and 20-0. And, of course, those games are mercy ruled. Hastings just crushes Mount Marty. They beat him 28-0 out in their Arizona trip. That's embarrassing. Here's an interesting little stat, though. Hastings is going to host Concordia Wednesday. Concordia fired their softball coach over the weekend, Grant Schmidt. And not a whole lot of reason was given outside of, well, we believe that for the overall health of the program, an immediate change of leadership was necessary. Our softball program has been outstanding, and we want it to continue to reach its highest potential. We are grateful for Coach Ginsburg's commitment to the program. Not Grant Schmidt. Grant Schmidt's the AD. Robert Ginsburg was the coach, sorry. And for the positive things he contributed to Concordia this year.
That's some interesting timing.
Whatever. That must have been a small list of positive things if you're canon and midway through the season. So Concordia has a new coach, at least an interim coach, as they get ready to take on Hastings this Wednesday. We'll take a break. We'll come back, talk a little football with Paul Merkowitz, Hastings College, after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Please turn your head and cough.
Very few things in life are more uncomfortable.
In order to test his will, Fred likes to subject himself to extreme conditions. Today, he's swimming with the Polar Bear Club during a blizzard.
Yeehaw!
At Train, we believe in extreme testing, too. We expose them to desert-like heat, Arctic-like cold, and a gauntlet of abuses. So you can be confident you're investing in the most durable, reliable system available.
Get your extreme-tested Train from the folks that continually pass the test with our customers. Tested, tried, and true. That's why you want to call Fidelki Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a Train.
This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
We'll see some sunshine, followed by some increasing cloud cover during the day today. Temperatures climb up to around 40 initially, then may fall off later today as winds turn to the west late at 10 to 25. Tonight we'll see a chance for showers, mixing with and changing over to some wet snow with a low in the upper 20s. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 45.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The comeback of the Tiger. The Eye of the Tiger knocks down a 16-footer yesterday to win the Arnold Palmer invite. I can't wait to listen to Jim Rome today just berate Sean O'Hare for just getting out of the way and letting Tiger win the tournament. The combination thereof, Tiger did have to go 3-under-67. Very, very good. Very well played last hole. My question is, again, PGA Tour and NBC, why are we finishing in the dark? It's not all you have to do is watch the highlights from last year. It's sunny. We're coming down a little earlier, and Tiger makes that great putt. This year, same thing, only it's dark. They had already said if we had to go to a playoff, it would be today. You can't put yourself in that situation, and it wasn't because of a weather delay, and it wasn't because there was some problem. Tiger and Sean O'Hare and Zach Johnson, they're even playing threesomes, and they can't start early enough to finish their round? What are you thinking?
How about Johnny Miller saying that Tiger is the sun and Sean O'Hare is butter? Night-night.
Making him melt. Well, and again,
five shots, though.
One of the reasons was maybe the cut line moved to five over and they had to shove in another hour's worth of players. But still, it just seemed like, well, how can you have a tournament where you might not make it to the end of the day?
Doug, we're 2 weeks from the Masters. He's just coming off knee surgery. Second tournament back.
Third.
What? Whatever. He wins it? I mean, it's perfect timing. Everything. No one's going to be close to him as far as being favorite heading into the Masters.
Well, no. It wouldn't have mattered if he won yesterday or not. He's still going to be the favorite going into the Masters. But this just might make it a little more feasible for people to believe that Tiger will win a fifth green jacket.
66th career PGA Tour victory.
He just keeps clicking and clicking and clicking and picking up wins and wins and wins, and we will see if he can do that to the Shell Houston Open this week. And one other question I have for you, why doesn't Phil play in this event? He likes to play the week before, so he wants a little time off. Just seems weird that he doesn't want to play in Arnold Palmer's event.
No, because he wants some confidence going in, and he doesn't want to get beat by Tiger.
He doesn't like,
period.
He doesn't like a course that's nothing but water. Good Lord, Arnie.
That his fifth in a row at that tournament?
No, I think it's the sixth time he's won it, or fifth or sixth time that he's won that tournament.
66. Can you imagine the day we're sitting here looking back on still a relatively young Tiger going, he's won 100 damn PGA tournaments. There's people that have been on the tour for years and never won one. He's going to, I mean, 100 is going to happen within the next 3 years.
No, it's not.
It went 10 a year, 12 a year.
No, he won't. He hasn't won that many in a single season his whole life. Why would that happen 3 years in a row?
Well, he just haven't been playing on with a healthy knee forever.
He doesn't play
either.
Enough events to win that many.
He's going to win 4 years. He'll have 100 wins.
Once again, he was an athlete, not a math major. Big Daddy. Doug and Daddy's show here on ESPN Radio. You can fire us off an email, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Phone number 1-888-455-ESPN. We're joined now by the head football coach of Hastings College on this Monday, Paul Merkowitz, getting spring practice underway. Good morning, Coach.
Boys, you got me laughing right away. 12 tournaments he's going to win in 1 year, three times in a row.
Again, the daddy is a math major.
If the guy played 14, he'd win 12 of them. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. If it happens, there will be another parade for the daddy.
There you go.
I'm guessing in the next 10 years he might get there. Well, I wish we could concentrate on golf a little bit, but obviously it's time to concentrate on football again, Coach, and you're ready to get spring ball underway.
Yeah, we got one in yesterday. It was a little breezy, but we got a practice in. It's supposed to be pretty nice here this afternoon, so hopefully before the snows come tonight, we'll get two practices out of the way.
Paul, how many days do we have to get practices in for a Hastings College?
Well, we've got we've actually have 5 weeks if we would need it, but we won't go that long. We're usually going four practices a week, and so we'll get our 15 in. Or I'm sorry, we have 6 weeks, but we'll get our 15 in practices in easily before that time.
You guys have had different rules. There have been rule changes as far as what you can and can't do in spring ball, and we go over this every season when this rolls along, but always got new listeners out there. What are some of the things that you can't do in spring ball?
Well, we're not allowed to wear we can only wear helmets and shoulder pads. We're not allowed to wear any lower gears. We're in shorts and sweats and that type of stuff, which kind of obviously limits some of the things that you can do, and you want your guys staying up as much as you can, but you want to try to be as physical as you can because you still need to get some things done. But we just kind of try to gear the tempo down a little bit from what we do in the fall, but still try to be productive.
Well, we know that doesn't happen everywhere. Is there any talk about this changing?
Well, I've brought it up almost every year, and I'm not exactly sure what all the issues are behind it, because we're out there in helmets and shoulder pads. You would think that we would need the best coverage that we would have on all the things that we would do, so putting the pants with the pads in would actually be a little bit more safer, I guess. But it does make it a little bit difficult, but, you know, we won't have an actual spring game or we won't have any live scrimmages, but we're still able to get the things done we need to get done.
Paul, I guess in 15 practices, is there one point of emphasis or one area that you hope to shore up as you head into summer conditioning and then the fall?
Well, I think the first thing, I mean, we're going to try and take it in phases and try to look at maybe the first five practices and really just focus in first and foremost on our communication and make sure we're all on the same page in terms of calling plays, assignments, and then making adjustments and doing those types of things. And then as you look to the next five, you want to make sure you have everything installed. And then the last, you know, four or five, you try to get everybody evaluated. But I think offensively, I really want to see us improve in the offensive line. I think that was an area that in the off season when we last talked was an area that we wanted to get better at. And I think we've done some good things, and you know, hopefully we'll continue to get better. And then the biggest area you look at defensively that I want to make sure we're still very good at, we won't be able to do much until the fall, is just making sure we're still a very good tackling team.
Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Fill the fans in on where you think you're pretty comfortable heading into spring.
You know, I feel really good, and knock on wood, but I feel really good about our defense. I don't think we're lacking in any area. I think we're very strong in the defensive line. We run extremely well at linebacker, and we have quite a bit of experience in the secondary. And so that's an area where, we want to continue to get better, but I think we have all the makings there of being one of the top one, two, maybe three defenses in our league.
Paul, I think everybody out there obviously interested in the skill position. Start at quarterback. Who's going to be receiving the reps, or is it going to be only one man there?
Well, we're repping all five of our quarterbacks right now. And, you know, obviously when you lose a senior starter, we started for you for 2 years, it's an open tryout. If we had a game today, Troy Hubert is the young man out of Aurora that has the most experience in our offense and running our offense. So if we had a game today, he would be the guy. But probably won't get a final evaluation on everything until sometime in August and kind of go from there.
Talking with Paul Merkowitz here on the Doug and Daddy Show, you've got some good kids coming back. You talked about your defense, a couple of those or three of those are some key returners, and we've talked about Mackenzie Hemgee before. He looks like he's going to be the leader for you.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when he's healthy, you know, he's as good of a player as we've had here in the time I've been here. And he had a great season for us, went through pretty much a whole season, you know, 11 games without getting any major injuries, and his numbers really showed. And, you know, one of the areas that I think we're going to really be very strong at is in the secondary. You know, we return, you know, two corners that have basically started for us for 3 years, a free safety that's been a two-year starter for us, and a third corner that's going to be a junior that's played quite a bit. So I really feel that we can start back there and be able to do some things with this defense and then work off that.
Paul, as far as the new kids coming into your system, and obviously, you know, somebody that comes to mind immediately for me is a Hudeberg kid out of Grand Island High. As far as him learning the system, do they already have the playbooks, or does that start this summer?
We won't do anything with them until the summer. And it kind of matters where a guy's coming from. You know, obviously with him being so close, it's pretty simple for me to get contact with him and get him some stuff out and spend a little bit of time with him. He'll be down here in the summer working with our guys too as well. So you know, he's going to have that a little bit of an advantage. But we don't get playbooks out to guys till sometime in the summer.
Paul, are you going to need some of the new kids, whether they're freshmen or whether they're transfers? Do you expect one or two or more of these kids are going to have to be a part of your football program this fall?
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, with the talent that we have and the job that we've done in recruiting, our coaches have done a wonderful job. I think those guys are going to – there's quite a few guys I think that can come in and really help us out. Now, who that's going to be and in what positions is just going to be, you know, how well they adapt to the speed of the game and the scheme and then their ability to go full go.
Paul, I guess as you assess the rest of the conference, is it still kind of the big two or has there been a shift in power?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, somebody's going to have to beat Sioux Falls before you can say that they're not the best team in the country. And so, you know, that's the area that, you know, with them and Morningside, we look and, you know, and we say, hey, you know, we've got to get to them. They're not going to come to us. And so that's kind of been our focus and our goal the entire offseason. And, you know, if we're going to get back to the postseason, we're going to have to be able to beat those boys. And so that's kind of been our focus, really, as we've gone through most of our drills.
Who's going to win the Final Four?
North Carolina.
And how many tournaments is Tiger going to win this year?
17.
I like your style.
Man, he might be able to do it in 2 years at that pace.
There you go.
Paul, we'll let you get back to work and practice today, and we appreciate the time, and we'll talk with you again towards the end of spring.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. UNK, this spring whole thing, I got a note from Peter Yazvak, the SID, who said, you know, they haven't been able to do anything yet. Because of the weather and classes and stuff. Huh?
I think it starts today.
Huh? Why? What's so tough? Nebraska's practicing. Hastings practicing.
Well,
you can't expect perfect weather in the state of Nebraska. That stuns me that they were going to start last Monday and in 7 days couldn't find a day to practice.
Well,
wasn't it pretty nice this weekend?
Well, but Doug, hold on. I'm just asking.
I'm not criticizing. I'm asking because I find it befuddling.
Once you start, you've got 29 days to get them in. So if you hold off for a week, you're just hoping for better weather. They hated to practice last Monday and have their clock start as far as getting those practices in and then sit out Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, hope to get a couple in this weekend. I mean, they didn't want to practice one day with the clock running and then go four or five days in a row.
I understand that. But
they were throwing the dice just hoping for better
Saturday,
weather.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I, you know... When we talked to Daryl a couple of weeks ago, he didn't want to get this stuff pushed into...
Well, Daryl's probably listening on TV. Hell, it's supposed to be drizzling right now. Is there a cloud in the sky? I don't know. Throw a dart somewhere, please. Breakfast. Drizzle. That's what it said.
We were going so well. Now UNK football and NTV both hate us.
They don't have to hate us, but... There's not a cloud in the sky. It's supposed to be drizzle at breakfast. Now, if it's cloudy and the moisture doesn't,
maybe,
I understand.
Maybe if you had
There's
prom
not a cloud in the sky.
Maybe if you had prom last night, breakfast will be this afternoon.
That's so true.
Let's take a break. Back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our transmitter actually contains parts of the Chernobyl reactor. It hasn't affected us yet.
That's the kind of reaction you wish your lawn would get, and it can with Highland Park Lawn Company.
Call them today to schedule your fertilizer, weed, and grub control applications for the upcoming lawn care season. Highland Park's carefully timed applications and quality products will give you the lush, green lawn you want with locations in Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings.
Look us up in the white pages. The grass is always greener with Highland Park Lawn Company.
It's Fan Appreciation Weekend at the Storm Hockey Games, presented by Slumberland Furniture and affiliated Foods Midwest. For each game, save money with the Storm Stimulus Pack. Get two tickets for just $20. Friday night, play Armchair Quarterback, presented by Slumberland Furniture. Saturday night, everyone through the doors will get a free food item courtesy of affiliated Foods Midwest and Frito-Lay. It's Fan Appreciation Weekend this Friday and Saturday with the Tri-City Storm. For tickets, call 308-338-8011. Storm Hockey, presented by Viero.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see some sunshine, followed by some increasing cloud cover during the day today. Temperatures climb up to around 40 initially. That may fall off later today as winds turn to the west late at 10 to 25. Tonight we'll see a chance for showers, mixing with and changing over to some wet snow with a low in the upper 20s. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 45.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where the spring sports season is here. Track, soccer, baseball, softball, whatever it is you're competing in, or if you're just out there watching, let me tell you, it's still a little chilly to be watching soccer or heading out to a track meet. Maybe you need the extra warm-ups. Maybe you need the extra sweats. Maybe you need the wind pants, the sweatshirts. They've got them there for you in your favorite colors and team representation at Misco Sports on the Bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. Misco's is open 7 days a week for your convenience, and every pair of shoes in the store take an extra $10 off. And for all the spring breakers, well, we're winding down there, but I still know a few folks that are talking going out skiing. Misco's has ski pants, gloves, and goggles in stock for you. And, of course, once this weather settles down, then don't put it off, folks. They do such a great job on the uniforms, baseball, softball, whether it's travel teams, town teams, legion teams, little kids teams, whatever the case may be. Softball, baseball, they are there for you. New bats, gloves, and bags coming in weekly at Misco Sports. On the Bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. See him before the games begin.
Douglas Seth Curry plays at Liberty his freshman year, leads the nation in scoring as a freshman, for a freshman. He wants to go find a higher level of basketball. So when you leave Liberty, I guess I'm guessing, okay, I want a higher level of basketball. I'm thinking perhaps Northern Iowa, Dayton. I'd be higher than Liberty. He picks Duke. ACC Duke. I mean, I know you want to be tested and stuff. That's kind of jump out of the park, isn't it?
Hey, shoot for the stars, people. Wes Eichmeyer leaving Iowa State. Just talking to a few people about where he might want to go. Reportedly wants to go kind of the other way. And don't be surprised maybe to find him with a kid he made friends with in high school, Jesse Carr, at Colorado State, who went 9-22 this year. By the way, Carr had a good season, started 18 games as a freshman, true freshman, averaged just under 9 points per ball game, led the team in scoring, I think, three times this season. So just possibly keep your eyes, keep your ears open. Maybe Eichmeyer headed there. By the way, the D2 final, was that really 42-42 in going into overtime? A Class A game broke out.
We have hacked on Class A since the final. There were some fairly decent class people. I've been getting accosted on the streets.
Oh, so you're going to backtrack now? You're going to bow to your friends for giving you hell about bashing Class A? That away. Good credibility. USHL Offensive Player of the Week is Andy Toronto. I'm not even going to let you talk about it. Andy Toronto of the Fargo Force. Well, they did score 12 goals on the Storm this weekend. The Storm by the end of the week is going to be sold. We're going to have a lot more on that on the show tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Looks like that's all done except for the USHL approval. The Storm, who dropped both games against Fargo, not in Fargo, which makes you want to watch the movie Fargo.
Stay away from the wood chipper, though.
They are going to wrap up their season at home Friday and Saturday. Sioux Falls and Sioux City come in at 7:05 both nights. We hope to have a chance to talk with Coach Tom Redrute later on this week. We'll give you a chance to win some tickets to those games as they wrap up their season at home this weekend. Who won the Boogity Boogity?
I have no clue.
Jimmy Johnson won the Boogity Boogity.
The 48? 48 winner?
So there it is. Jimmy Johnson, the winner. Tiger Woods, your winner. NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament continues tonight. We want to thank Kelly Jeffries from Grand Island going into the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame for joining us today, and Hastings College head football coach Paul Merkowitz.
Hey, look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, Center of Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. 1460 in Kearney, 1550, our friends in Hastings.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.